Doing well today?
Yeah.
I'm such a, like, if someone asks me, how are you doing? Depends, like, if I'm close to them or not, but I try to tell the truth. Like, if I'm actually not doing well, I'd be like, I'm decent, yeah, or I'm whatever. Mm-hmm. This morning, though, I had to lie. I literally couldn't say I didn't feel good. Because, guys, we actually tried to do this. I think it was in January or December. By the way, it's July right now.
Let's get into it.
Surprise, surprise, I'm not drinking matcha. It's like this creamsicle spritz, but it's pretty good.
It looks good.
But anyways, Kelly, who were you as a child?
Me as a child? You know, that's so weird because I just asked my parents the other day. I was like, what was your favorite thing about me growing up, you know? And they always said, like, you were always so laid back. You were creative. I was always creating something. I remember at one point I made like a blueprint for a restaurant I wanted to open. I was like 7 years old. Like, I was always creating, drawing, building something. So that creativity was always inside of me, like, growing up.
I totally relate to that. Like, I had a whole sketchbook of, like, my art. I was really into architecture, not that it was anything professional, but I'd bring it around everywhere. Going off of that, like, what were your dreams? Like, what do you want to do with that?
Honestly, I wanted to do everything. Everything. I still want to do everything, but, you know, growing up, turning into an adult, you gotta, like, stick to something specific. When I was little, I wanted to open a restaurant, be a fashion designer, teacher, open a school. Like, I wanted to do all types of things. But, you know, when you go into high school, you really got to start thinking about what you're actually going to do. So that's when I started thinking about childcare education. Inshallah, like, I would love to open a daycare.
Who are you as a child? What were your dreams? Yeah. Like, just the story of you growing up. Like, just let's start from the beginning.
Well, of course, one thing I've always wanted to do was to help people and give back. I feel like my parents always put it in me to care about other people. And I remember, like, my dad telling me about homeless people and, like, having those feelings of being grateful for what you have because other people don't have it. My dad always put that in my head. I think, like, that kind of upbringing really brought me to where I am today, like, what I do today. And I'm forever grateful by the way I was raised.
Would you say your dad was probably your biggest role model or influential figure in your life?
Both of my parents, actually, like, they really did shape me who I am today. Like, I give them all the credit.
You have a brother too, right?
Yeah, I have two older brothers. And as a family, we've really gone through so much. My oldest brother is deaf. My second brother was diagnosed with diabetes at 13. So we went through a whole lot as a family. And, like, our strength, our look on life is we're still positive. We're still have empathy for other people because of what we've gone through. So I'm forever grateful for that.
Amazing. And your parents are definitely, like, you have to be amazing. And I'm sure that definitely brought you guys more together more.
Yeah, they just taught us to power through it. Like, nothing can ever take us down as a family.
Like, that's the thing. You're always going to, what is that, handle hard better. Mm. That's literally the thing. There's never going to be a time where everything's smooth sailing. I mean, maybe for a little bit, but not forever. So I feel like we're always waiting for, okay, after, when summer hits, like, I'm going to be chilling. Or once this happens, like, I'll be fine. Like, I have to get through this, but you're going to constantly have to go through obstacles. So learning how to handle that, it definitely builds you up.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, you're always going to have problems. It's about how you handle them.
Tell me the backstory of LOPH.
All right.
That came before Sonder Drive, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So LOPH is a lot of things. It's not just a clothing brand. I started it back in 2017, and that was when I graduated high school. Which that was, it feels so long ago, which is crazy. But I remember having a moment when I graduated. I remember that night I had a sleepover with, like, my best friends. And then the next morning we were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, we're going in the next, like, phase of our lives. We're going to college, like, in the fall and things like that. And I remember thinking to myself, like, dang, like, education is not the only thing I want to do. Like, I want to start something to, like, give back to the community and things like that, connecting back to what we were just talking about. So I was like, what is something, like, I've always wanted to create, like, a bridge between those who want to help and those who are in need. So I've always met people, including myself, like, we have the need, the want to help somebody, but, like, we don't know what to do, like, what to donate to and things like that. And you're never really sure where your money is going when you're donating either. So I was like, what's the number one thing, like, people will, I don't know, be willing to give their money to? Like, I was thinking of ways to make profit and then donate those profits. And I was like, clothes. People would buy a shirt and I would be able to donate those profits to whatever. So that's how LOPH started. And for those who are wondering, LOPH stands for Love Overpowers Hate. How I came up with Love Overpowers Hate was my first like personal business meeting I had with myself. I went to Panera. And I remember sitting down, I had a notebook. When I like come up with names or ideas, I always just jot down whatever my head comes up with. I have so many like notebooks with just like random words and scribbles and things like that. And I just couldn't come up with a name for the brand. And I remember my birthday just passed and I took out a notebook my second brother Nick gave me, and I was just going through the pages, and then there was a note from my brother, and I was just like, oh, I never saw this. Like, it was just a random note in like the 50th page, and he said something along the lines like, remember, like, you were born to stand out, like, you're beautiful just the way you are. And he goes, remember, love overpowers hate. I was like, that kind of clicks, you know, because I wanted a name that like really sticks to people's heads. Like, it's an unusual name for a brand, in my opinion, but I figured like I can shorten it to LOPH and it can be like a saying that's like stuck in people's heads. So that's when I came up with the name. My brand's name right now is LOPH Club, but it wasn't like that for a while. I just recently changed it to LOPH Club. Because the brand really did grow into a community of people who wants to give back. Amazing people, creative people.
And I feel like when you're so connected to something too, and you're so passionate, and this is something that I feel like for creative endeavors and things that you've done a lot of collaborations too. So it's kind of like inevitable that it turns into a community. It's so funny because I'm literally doing like a work project on like, community, like why building community with your company is so important and helps people and consumers feel connected. Storytelling and that, like, people buy feelings. People want like a connection. They don't want to just buy something, but if there's some type of message or the money is going somewhere or there's just like more to it, then you can, you know, reel people in more. So
yeah, I think it's really important when you own a brand, it's more than just the clothes. Like, it's more than just putting the name on a t-shirt or name on a hoodie. Like, I really feel like you got to have a good mission, a good story behind it. And my brand really grew into a lot of things. Like, I can do a lot of things with it. I have ideas for years with this brand. And yeah, I actually started another organization. It's like an extension of LOPH. It's called Sonder Drive, and that's where I do mostly of my community projects. And I also have a magazine from the brand, which is called Peace Plus Magazine. I just launched the first issue last year, and it's been great.
She does everything, guys, if it was a parent already. And I love that you're just segueing to every question that I'm going to ask. So this is just like literally perfect. But and along with the Sonder Drive, you have a community fridge. Is that correct? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
The community fridge, it's been a journey with this project. I had the idea when back in 2021, actually, it was after COVID. And I had the realization that like, food prices are going up like crazy. Like, the price for a cereal box is like $10, $6. Yeah, it's absolutely insane, especially after COVID. I knew that people were struggling. And I remember I was in Malden and I saw a community fridge and I never saw anything like that. I was like, whoa, like, I love that concept. I love that you can drop off any food and then anybody can pick it up. It's like free food for anybody. So I was like, yeah, let me start something like that in my town.
And it's not easy.
No.
Like, I remember you telling me it took a while, and it's crazy. Like, for something that's going to help the community, why was it such a struggle?
Yeah, it took me a while to get approval. It took me a while to even, like, try to reach out to the people at my local city hall. I don't know why. I don't know why it took so long, but I really did fight for it. I put together a presentation and listed all the good reasons why we should have this, all the good locations, and finally, like, we had opening day. And ever since, it's been a success, and it really did help a lot of people.
You have, like, a Facebook group for it, too?
A Facebook group with over, like, 800 members. So, like, it's amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah, if anything, it really did show me how generous people are and, like, how much people really do want to help. And that's just another example of, like, building that bridge. It's like somebody got to do the project and create that bridge, and then people will take it. People will cross it and do whatever they can to help.
That's awesome. And you gave also a platform for other people to also serve their community and do good. So, like, you're doing good, but you're also inspiring other people. And that's what it's just like a whole, like, chain effect. And I feel like this is maybe your way of, I read up on your little article from your college, but is this kind of like your way of serving others before you open up your own daycare one day, inshallah? And because that's like your biggest thing. I think it's really cool that you can do it through different avenues.
I'm also working on another community project. It's kind of like the community fridge, but it's called Saunders Locker. And I'm going to build these lockers with the community fridge. I've had kids from high school, the vocational school, build the shed, because connecting back to my childcare education, like, I think it's really important to connect kids and, like, inspire young kids to give back and, like, help out with, like, these big projects. So I've been involving the vocational school to build the community fridge and Saunders Locker. Saunders Locker is, like, these lockers I'm going to put in schools, and instead of food, it's going to be school supplies. Because, Target, Staples, all of these places, like, the prices are rising. And I know when most families get that list of school supplies that they have to get at the beginning of the year, it's like $200 they got to drop. So I want to be able to provide, and, like, I already got so many donations, like, notebooks, binders, pencils from people who want to help. It's amazing. So I'm going to fill these lockers with just all those type of things. And if a kid is coming to school and they don't have a pencil, they can just go by the locker and grab a pencil.
And where did this idea come from? Like, it just came to you?
Yeah, it just came to me because as an educator, as a teacher, I know not only the kids are struggling, the families, but the teachers as well. The school don't provide the teachers supplies and stuff. They got to pay out of their pocket. And that's always been crazy to me. The teachers buy the decoration, the supplies, and things like that. So it will help them as well.
So throughout all of your endeavors, obviously, as you mentioned, like, there's always been challenges throughout your life. What do you think has helped you get through it? Besides the support of your family, I know you're very close to your faith. If you want to talk, I know, some fun fact, I actually interviewed Kelly a while back for an essay that I was writing. And so we've kind of gone through a lot of different discussion, but for you guys to hear, I'm going to ask the question, how does, your faith, Islam, like, play a role in what you do and how you push through everything?
Of course, a big part of Islam is giving back, and charity is a very important thing, a very important part of our faith and religion. Ever since I was little, I've always wanted to give, but I never had that expectation of getting anything back. The only thing I care about if Allah is pleased with me, I never really expect anything back except for maybe good deeds. I don't really think of it like, I'm going to do this, so I better get, like, something good back. Because, even I go through struggles, I don't have the expectations of getting anything back. And that's because of Islam. Like, Islam teaches us to, what's that saying, do good and throw it in the sea. It means, like, do good and just let it go. Don't expect anything, and maybe Allah will reward you, inshallah. But Yeah, it's a good feeling. Like, if anything, if I get anything out of it, it's a good feeling.
Love that. And it seems like it's always been inside of you. Mm-hmm. You converted how many years ago?
Oh, I converted in 2020. So it's been 4 years.
Wow.
Well, alhamdulillah. Yeah.
But like, I remember you talked to me before, just the way that you were raised too. Like, you were raised with a good family. You were raised with these values. So it kind of just strengthened.
Connected. Yeah.
Connected more. So everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, that's where I connected with you too. Because my mom's also a convert or revert. But she was something like, she was always kind of like the same person, but she never like was introduced to Islam. And then once, now that she's Muslim, she's been Muslim, I don't know how many years, but
yeah,
a little bit after I was born or so. Like, it just like strengthened. Like, everything that she says is included with, like, including what Islam teaches and why this happens. And I don't know, it just, yeah. when you're meant to be Muslim, or like when you're guided, like, it just happens.
You.
Like, I can't have that same experience, obviously, because I was like raised in a Muslim household, but from talking to my friends like you, or just my mom, or like anyone else that I meet, it just, you just like, it just pulls you almost.
Yeah. Like, my whole life, it always felt like I had missing pieces in my life. Like, I've always believed in God, but anytime I went to church or my family would talk about a religion, I was Christian before. And it just never made sense to me. I mean, I would try to make sense of it. I remember attempting to read the Bible and things like that. It just never connected for me. But when I started learning about Islam, it just really felt like the pieces were coming together. Like, it felt like everything I believed before, like, connected. I was like, wow, like, I believed in this like my whole life, and now like Islam is telling me exactly what I was thinking. Like, subhanAllah, it was like an amazing feeling when I found Islam. Crazy. So especially in the Quran, like, yeah, subhanAllah.
So your last drop wasn't too long ago, right? Just a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
I think was fasting during then. So
actually, I know you deactivated Instagram, but I actually just,
you dropped the other one. Oh, too. I know you were also like shooting, but I didn't know it dropped for real.
It's dropping July 28th. Okay. It's a graphic tee collection, and it is also on the same day that I'm having my first car show.
Yes. And, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't bring that up.
Sonder Drive. It's, the name was inspired by my dad's obsession with classic cars, especially Trans Ams. Growing up, I've always been surrounded by cool cars, and that's a little passion of mine as well. So Sonder Drive, it's like the theme is around cars. It's like the, I'm trying to have the saying be like the drive to help others or something like that. And Sonder is like my favorite word ever. Do you know what Sonder means?
I do, because I remember looking it up, like, what is it, like, Brentify? Is this, other, like, alter ego, whatever it is?
Yeah.
It's, like, longing. Is it something like that? Like, kind of, you explained it. Yeah. I can't remember it.
For those who don't know what Sonder is, like, it's kind of like, let's say you're sitting on a bench at a park, and you're looking at other people, and you're just wondering what's going on in their lives. Where is that person walking? Well, I wonder how that person is feeling. Like, what are their lives like? What are their problems? That's called sondering. And it's like knowing that other people's lives are just as complex as yours. Knowing that they have their own problems. Knowing that they're going through whatever they're going through. And I feel like as people, we really get in our own worlds. And like, I don't want to say selfish, because that's a very, I feel like it's a negative word, but it's natural. Like, we tend to be selfish sometimes. We think about our own problems, like, why is this happening to me? And things like that. But when you sonder and you realize that everyone else is going through the same thing, it really helps you, like, get through life better. So that's how the name came about, Sonder Drive, and also Stereo Drive in Boston. That's my favorite, like, cruise.
Bro, but when you miss the exit to Stereo Drive, and, like, I mean, I was going this way, like, Somerville today, but, like, when I'm trying to go to Stereo and I miss it, just go home at that point, literally. Like, it's happened, and it's literally the worst.
Yeah, I feel you, yeah. But, yeah, that's how it all connects, so the whole thing about it is like cars and things like that. So I'm having my first car show with my dad, And yeah, that's July 28th. If y'all want to come down.
I don't know. I wish
I don't know if it's, the episode's going to be
on. I really wish it could. But when you guys are watching this, make sure to, obviously I'll tag you and everything, but check it out.
There'll be videos and pictures, yes. So definitely
so check just, it like, out. So just look at it, and hopefully there'll be another one. We should make an annual thing.
Of course.
Who knows?
Of course.
Who knows what will happen? So it seems like you really have done so much, to be honest. Do you have, this might be a hard question, but do you have a favorite piece or project that you've done?
Let me think about it.
Or one that's been, I don't know, it stood out, or one that was really difficult, just like anything that stands out to you.
I would say my magazine, issue one, is about LOPH Club. And I wanted to introduce LOPH in a way to show all of my collabs, show all of my community projects. And I thought, what better way than like a magazine, like people can flip through and read. And I also want to bring back like paper. Everything is digital nowadays. And I wanted to bring back that feeling of like just flipping through a magazine. Like I remember when I was little, I used to go to the magazine section and like do, what is it called? The teen pop.
I wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't know?
Wait, where the magazines are?
Yeah, it's like a Disney.
Yes.
And yeah, you get a poster in it.
Yeah, it was like, wasn't it Teen Pop?
Or like something there was like a girl.
Yeah, you might be right now. Yeah. Like,
it's something like
that. Keep talking, but.
So I've always loved like magazines in that way. And I thought the best way to put all of my projects into something is a magazine, of course. But this was probably most of my struggles where it lies, because believe it or not, like I've had so many collabs, but I've had people not like message me back, or like some collabs that just didn't work out and things like that. And I feel like struggles like that, you really have to go through as a brand. Like, people only see the surface. They don't see the behind the scenes. They don't see the fails. They don't see how long it took to do something and things like that. Like, and so that just leads me to being proud of the magazine, because I went through a lot to get it done and get it out there. The launch party, that took forever for me to plan. And Layla was actually there. It was last summer.
It was amazing. It was so cool. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. And like the space was awesome too. Like they had the like little retro games and everything.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like a gallery and a movie theater.
Like this girl, like I don't even know how you do it. And wait, so the magazine you were talking about, is that the one that I was in also?
Yes.
See, like just forget things. That's basically how we met too. I didn't even talk about that.
I did like an article on like how I want to appreciate different cultures, like clothing in different cultures. And I did like an LOPH hijab. And yeah, and Layla, I remember Lena, I was like, Lena, do you have any friends that wear the hijab you can invite to the photo shoot? And she invited Layla.
And I actually literally just started wearing it, I think a week before. Honestly, I think you really helped me just like beginning my journey. I remember we took pictures and like, I don't know, like they came out so, even though the camera died.
Yeah.
I remember the camera died, but we took them on like iPhone, but they still came out so cool. And then it was in your magazine. I think that actually really helped me and like my confidence more. I don't know. It was a really fun shoot. The other girls were so cool, so nice.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that was just the beginning for me, but more than you know, it helped me out. And it's just like, I don't know, it was a great beginning.
Yeah. Layla is actually on like a full page if you want to go check it out. LOPHclub.com, buy your magazine.
Get your magazine today. No, it's actually fire. I love having like, is it like the word memorabilia or whatever from like my friends, like t-shirt. I'm literally wearing her t-shirt right now. It's and no, like no joke, it's actually my most worn and like favorite t-shirt. I don't know how to describe it. The graphic is super cool. Just like the fit, everything, it goes with like, it's not like too basic. It's not basic at all, actually, but I literally wear it all the time. So
it's like a staple piece.
No. And your, crew neck set with the like bro. Every time I wore it, I stained it, just had to keep washing it because I just like lounge around in it or her stuff. It's not just the design too, but like it's actually the comfort. And it's crazy because you don't even come from a design background.
I don't.
Like that's the thing, like you designed this magazine, you've done these projects and all this stuff, but that's not even what you studied. So basically everything's self-taught.
Yeah, everything is self-taught. I don't consider myself a fashion designer, even though I designed all of my clothes. It's kind of crazy. Still going back to what I said before, like, I've always thought LOPH is more than a clothing brand. Like, I'm just gonna put these designs on a t-shirt and hope people like it. And I've always thought, like, if I would wear it, other people would wear it. But if I wouldn't wear it, I'm not gonna do it. Oh, another thing that started this brand was, like, I wanted to wear something that showed other people, like, hey, like, you can feel safe with me. I feel like in 2017, I forget what it was, but the world was kind of like going through something, like going through, like, I think a certain community was getting hate or something like that. And I think it was like the election between Trump and somebody else or something like that. So I wanted people to know, like, you can feel safe around me. I got you if anything happens. And I thought, like, if I wore something to, like, kind of represent that, then, like, that was my mission at first. So I feel like now, like, if you see someone wearing LOPH, hopefully you'll know that, like, they're a good person, you know, like, they have good intentions and things like that. That's another thing about it.
That's why it became a club. It basically
exactly.
Is there some kind of initiation type of thing, or anyone's welcome?
Anybody's welcome. I mean, you got to be a good person. Yeah. But I feel like that's another thing as well. Like, when someone supports LOPH and, like, they're like, wow, like, I want to be part of this, that just shows me the type of person they are. If someone's a hater and they're like, whatever, LOPH, I'm like, dang. You're a true hater, you know?
Imagine hating on a brand that is all literally about love and peace and...
Exactly. It just shows me a lot about that person, like, the way they react to something like this.
Do you feel like you've experienced that with even people who were close to you?
Of course. I've had a lot of people show their true colors when something happens, like, they'll unfollow LOPH and, like, talk bad about it and things like that, and it's just like, nah, this has nothing to do with me. It's you're projecting kind of thing.
So that happens when you become more successful, when you're doing your thing, like, people are gonna hate. That literally happened when during COVID, I started a small business.
You told me about
actually
that.
It was, yeah, like, I don't even talk about it now. It's surprising, but at the same time, like, that's what happens. But people are just jealous.
Yeah.
And that can't turn you back. And the reason why, I think, is when you have also a really strong support system. Like, I'm so grateful for my supportive friends. And I'm sure you have the same. But, like, they actually make a difference. Like, you can, you know, bounce ideas off the walls with them, knowing that they're not going to go steal them and do whatever. Or they'll be receptive or actually give you good criticism. Mm-hmm. Just, like, I don't know. And I go to business school, too. But it's crazy that I've found so many just, like, artistic and creative people, and I'm so literally so inspired by them. You guys know who you are. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing, and I'm grateful for that. So I'm glad that you have the same. You know that I support you, obviously, and just seeing also the love and support from your launch party, that's what it was.
Yes.
No, like, that was super cool. I was like, wow, like, this is fire.
Yeah, I feel like the launch party from last year really, like, showed people, like, all of the work I've done. Like, it just, like, I don't know how to explain it, how serious the brand is, you know? I feel like when you put together events for people to come together, that's a really good way to grow your brand and, like, show people how serious you are about what you're doing and things like that. And it's a really good way to showcase all of your work and things like that. That was my first time being able to really show people everything I've been working on. Yeah, with a very proud moment.
Booking the space, bringing in everybody, marketing for it.
And all the posters.
Basically doing it. Like, I mean, your LOPH is just you. Obviously, you have, you know, your support from your peers and your friends and your family. But this is really you.
Yeah, it's really just me. Besides all, like, the collabs that I've done with people and stuff, like, it really is a one-woman show with my brand and everything.
Support female-owned businesses. Okay, so what is one piece of advice you would give anyone wanting to start a brand or someone who's going through even just like artist block, like anything like that where people are struggling to get started? What would you say?
Oh my gosh, I could talk hours.
Well, we just got a new set of batteries, so we could probably do that.
Let me think about this. I mean, connecting back to what we were saying about people are always going to talk and things like that, and I really feel like that's one of the top things people will let. That's one of the top things that stops people from doing what they want to do. And the number one thing about me is like, I really don't care about what people think or what they're saying. Like, I would still do what I'm doing even if I didn't have any support. Like, it's really nice that I have a support system, but this is like my true passion and what I truly want to do. And if you find yourself like not doing what you want to do, you really got to ask yourself, is this what I really want to do? Is this my true passion? Because I feel like your passion will be the thing that drives you to do what you want to do. And another thing, to-do lists. Come on. You got to write down in detail everything you got to do. Like, you should see all of my to-do lists. Like, I just have everything in detail. Email this person. Or like, do this design. Like, I'll write down all the designs I want to do. Like, and it's just a good feeling to cross them out, too. Like, that's what motivates me, crossing them out. And seeing, like, half of my to-do list, like, done. But, of course, it's always going to add. You're always going to add things.
Do you time block? Do you know what that is?
What is that?
It's basically, like, because we always can write down what we need to do, but basically putting into your calendar and putting exactly when and how, like, the duration of time and putting that in your calendar and then doing it. I found that to be very helpful because then you know, like, what's actually feasible. Like, you know how much time you have in your day and when you put everything together. I do that, like, during the school year. I just don't do as much during the summer, but I should because I still have things to do. But I would recommend that if you're looking for something new to try. Struggle a lot with this type of stuff and getting things done and not procrastinating.
So another thing is like little things one at a time. Like, you can, like, time, I really try not to think about it like too much. Like, I know people are always like, there's not enough time in the day, but it's just like, just do little by little every day and it eventually adds up, you know. Like, when it came to the magazine, like, I would just do one article one day and, like, do posters another day, and it all eventually added up.
You inspire me. I think I already said that, but, you, like, seriously, me. Like, my friends who just do their thing, like, that's really my motivation. Like, I need to end this. Once we end this, I need to just get working. Like, now I always tell my friends, like, guys, just yell at me or force me and just, like, you really need that. I don't know if I could accomplish what I have or what I do without just the support, so grateful for people like you.
I'm grateful for you. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
Of course, you're literally the first literally probably, if not the first, one of the first people that came to my mind when brainstorming for this podcast. I probably have it literally written down from my work notebook a year ago. When the idea came to me, I was like, okay, who am I going to interview? You were like, definitely not. Like, I have to find it because you for sure were. And I hope that all the listeners are inspired or moved or have a new way of thinking from, you know, whatever we've talked about today, because I definitely, even though I already know so much about you, just hearing you really speak, like, you're a wonderful speaker, so.
Yes. I'm practicing.
You're practicing. You're also practicing Arabic right now.
True. Assalamu alaikum. The only thing I know.
No, she knows more. Guys, she's on a what's your Duolingo streak?
571.
Bro, what else are you doing in your life right now? Besides all the work stuff, like, what are you doing?
Having fun.
Like, what's your thing?
You know,
I think it's like matcha cafes. I don't know about you. A wise person once said, throughout my entire life, I've been told you can't do that. Now I feel I have to prove as a deaf person I can do these things.
Sounds like someone I know.
Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit? With everything I do, not to get you off.
You really did your research.
With everything I do, I make sure I'm able to involve children in some way.
Yes. Yeah. I was just talking about that too, like with the community fridge and everything. I make sure I involve kids as well because I feel like it's really important to inspire when they're young. You know, I feel like it's hard to rewire an adult's brain to want to give back and help. So starting when they're young, it's like very crucial, in my opinion. The first quote, for those who don't know, I am deaf. I have 2 cochlear implants and they help me wake here as like a regular person. But growing up, I didn't have them. So I had hearing aids, which didn't really help at all. And growing up in school, I went to a hearing school. So I was surrounded by hearing kids and I was the only deaf person. And I remember not being able to take a language class because these teachers told me, well, you barely can speak English. So we'll take you out of language class and we'll put you in special ed. And I remember being told these things and thinking to myself, but I can't do it. You know, like, me being deaf and me having these struggles, like, it shouldn't stop me for doing normal things. Like, it shouldn't stop me from doing what the person next to me is doing too, as well. So growing up, I really did have adults tell me what I can do and what I can't do. So when I finally had this click where I was just like, I can do anything. Like, even, like, I have the struggle of not hearing, like, for a second growing up, like, I really thought it did hold me back in some ways, like in group settings, like being able to talk to other people, but my confidence really grew in talking to other people and things like that. But yeah, that's where that quote came from.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think like that kind of wrapped, maybe I should have brought it up earlier, but I feel like that does kind of wrap up everything we've talked about. And I mean, we've talked about so many different things that you've done and yeah, that you've been able to achieve despite any of the challenges. So
yeah, I think that was the perfect way to bring it up too at the end, because like people would never expect that from me. Like sometimes it takes me a while to tell people that I'm deaf. Sometimes they catch on because I say, what, like, can you repeat that, little things like that. But when I tell them, they're like, wow, like, you don't look deaf or whatever.
So basically it was on purpose.
Whatever things people say, like, I like how surprised people get by it.
Yeah. And although it does impact who you are, it's not all of who you are. And you are so many different things. And seriously, it's crazy. Like, I'll always, genuinely always be in awe of everything that you do. And I'm grateful to know someone like you. So I wanted to grab my drink and I finished it, but
she's about to get a matcha after this.
No, when you have friends that you're literally the same, we're so many times I wanted to be like, we're literally the same, but I didn't want to cut you off or be too much about me, but mm-hmm, we're literally the same. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much for having me on this podcast, Layla, and giving me an opportunity to talk about my brand and things like that. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.